Following is a class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 1, Text Number 12 and 13, given by Srila Rindasrutas on February 10, 1992, in Philadelphia.
In 14 Sanskrit verses that describe the Absolute Truth, and there's three Sanskrit verses that describe the main deities of Vrindavan: Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopina, and so these 14 verses that describe the Absolute Truth are then the basic structure. The beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita is each chapter is a commentary on the written commentaries on the verses. So here, 12 and 13 are the verses about Advaita Acharya, and then chapter 6 of Manjalila, of Anjalila, chapter 6 of Adi Leela is about those verses. So let's do text 12 is on the board. In text 13, Advaitam Harina Vaitad Acharyam Bhakti Samshanat Bhakta Vataram Ishantam Advaita Acharyam Asrayi. Because he is none different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Advaita. He's called Acharya. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he's called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. So these two verses describe the position of Advaita Acharya, a member of the Pancha Tattva. That's the picture we have on the altar behind Gauranitai. Pancha Tattva is Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Pancha means five, and tattva means truth or principle. Tat means that, and tva means ness, thatness. So it's a concrete meaning. It's just usually means principle or truth. So five principles, because when the Pancha Tattva was revealed, when Lord Chaitanya was standing with his associates in ecstasy at the house of Srivas, everyone could see that there in front of them was displayed the entire Absolute Truth. First, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Is Krishna come again in the form of his devotee? The verse that describes the Pancha Tattva, Pancha Tattvatmakam Krishna. Pancha Tattva Atmakam. This group comprises five transcendental tattvas, or subject matters, or truths, or principles. First, Krishna Bhakta Rupa. In the form of a devotee, that's Lord Chaitanya. He's Krishna, but Bhakta Rupa. Krishna in the form of a devotee. Swarupakam, and Krishna in the expansion of a devotee. That's Lord Nityananda. Next to the right of Lord Chaitanya is Nityananda, who is Balaram. Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. On the Vishnu Tattva side, on the right side, you have Vishnu Tattva. These are the expansions of the Lord in plenary angas, limbs. They're actually all Krishna, but just manifest in different ways. So Krishna, and then Balaram, and then Advaita Acharya is next to Nityananda. So he's called Bhaktavatara because he's an incarnation of Mahavishnu. That's what we learn from these verses. Mahavishnu, who's avatar. He is the first of the three Purusha avatars. When the Lord creates the material world, out of Balaram comes Shankarshan, and out of Shankarshan comes Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Shirodakshayi Vishnu. Those three are called Purusha avatars, specifically the expansions of Krishna and delegated with dealing with the material world. So that Mahavishnu is none other than Advaita Acharya, Bhakta Avatara. So that's the one side, right-hand side, that is our left, Lord Krishna's right. Chaitanya, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya. That's the Vishnu Tattva side. Then the other side, Gadadhar, is the Bhaktakya, known as a devotee. That is to say, Gadadhar is actually Srimati Radharani, the internal potency of Krishna. He is incarnation of the internal potency of Krishna. And then Bhakti Shakti Kam, Srivas, is marginal potency, is Narada Muni, a jiva. So there, in these five, you see before you Krishna, his major expansions, and his energies, all there in the manifestation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the Panchatattva. It's a very powerful representation of the Absolute Truth, all acting as devotees. There's only one God, but he can come as a crowd, with all his different aspects being represented this way. So today he said, Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the action of Maya. And that's what Mahavishnu is. And because he is none different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. Advaita means non-dual. So because he's none different from Krishna, he's called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotional service, he's called Acharya, teacher. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee, Bhakta Avataram. Therefore I take shelter of him. Now, switching to Bengali, we get Krishnadas Kaviraj's commentation on these verses. He says, Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universe. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. That Purusha, I said they're called Purusha avatars, person, Purusha. That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy. So really, you see, the Mahavishnu, up until you get to the Purusha avatars, the Lord does not deal with the external energy. So in his aspect of dealing with the external energy, then you get the Purusha avatars, specialists, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in that role, you know, when he puts on his suit and goes out in the workshop, so to speak, you know, jumpsuit or whatever, has to mess with the external potency. Krishna himself just deals with the internal potency. They don't mess with external. So this is the Purushas. Shristi sthiti. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. That's Mahavishnu. He lies down on the in the cloud, the Mahatattva cloud, and then the universes come out of his nostrils and his gimpur. By his will, he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. That's Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. He expands himself. Sigadvaita Acharya is a plenary part of that Purusha, and so is not different from him. We see this word all the time, plenary part. Plenary means we have full power. It may be described as a part, but is non-different. And is actually full. The part has all the potencies of the whole, even though described as a part. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha. He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious to the world, for he is a reservoir of all auspicious attributes. His characteristics, activities, and names are all auspicious. Mahavishnu creates, let's see what it says here in the purport. In this verse, Jagat Mangalam Advaita Mangala Guru Dhamma Mangala Charita Sada Mangala Yananam. So the word auspicious, Mangala, Mangala, is repeated. So in the commentary here, he says, he mentions that Mangala, according to some authorities, Mangala was another name of Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnu creates the entire material world with millions of his parts, energies, and incarnations. Just as the external energy consists of two parts, the efficient cause, Nimitta, and the material cause, Upadhan. Maya being the efficient cause and Pradhan, the material cause, so Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes two forms to create the material world with the efficient and material causes. So, efficient cause means that which sets something into motion. So that's called Maya, the energy which is originally coming from the glance of Krishna. Krishna glances over the material energy, and by his glance it starts to move, it becomes activated. So because it's his glancing potency in the form of the time energy, and that glancing potency is called Sudarshana Chakra, and Sudarshana Chakra is that energy. So that's called efficient cause. So the material energy is called Maya and is operating, you know, on the impulse of that efficient cause. But before that energy is there, it's called Pradhana. Pradhana is undifferentiated, unactivated material energy. Before, it's glanced over by Krishna. After it's glanced over, it's given another name, Mahatattva. Before it's glanced, it's called Pradhana. Undifferentiated, primordial, material energy, unactivated, before the Big Bang, whatever. You see, the Big Bang is exactly what happens, but the ignition of the Big Bang is the glance of the Lord. And so what is the material cause, the pradhana that's activated? That also comes from Krishna. He is both the efficient and material cause. He provides the ingredients. That's his energy also. So the efficient cause, both of those things. So Advaita Acharya or Mahavishnu is actually the both efficient and the material cause of the universe. Lord Vishnu himself is the efficient nimitta cause of the material world, and Narayan, in the form of Sri Advaita, is the material cause of Pradhana. Lord Vishnu, in his efficient aspect, glances over the material energy, and Sri Advaita, as the material cause, creates the material world. Although the Sankhya philosophy accepts that the material ingredients are the cause, the creation of the world never arises from dead matter. So this theory that everything just comes from matter is actually not an invention of modern material scientists. There was in India thousands and thousands of years ago an atheistic Sankhya philosophy which said that actually the material world just comes by operation of dead matter, without a God, no efficient cause. So it says, the Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency, Shishti Shakti. Then by the power of the Lord, creation takes place. In the form of Advaita, he infuses the material ingredients with creative energy. Therefore, Advaita is the original cause of creation. Sri Advaitacharya is the creator of millions and millions of universes, and by his expansions as Sarvadakshaya Vishnu, he maintains each and every universe. Sri Advaita is the principal limb, Anga, of Narayana. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks of limb Anga as a plenary portion, Amsha, of the Lord. Then it quotes Bhagavatam, prayer of Brahma, O Lord of Lords, you are the seer of creation. You are indeed everyone's dearest life. Are you not therefore my father Narayana? Narayana refers to one whose abode is in the water born from Nara, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and that Narayana is your plenary portion. All your plenary portions are transcendental, they are absolute and not creations of Maya. This verse describes the limbs and plenary portions as Amsha and Anga. Of the Lord are all spiritual. They have no relationship with the material energy. Why has Sri Advaita Acharya been called a limb, that is to say a anga, and not a part, an amsha? And the reason is that limb implies greater intimacy. Sri Advaita, who is a reservoir of virtues, is the main limb of Mahavishnu. His full name is Advaita, for he is identical in all respects with that Lord. As he had formerly created all the universes, now he descended to introduce the path of bhakti. So that's what he did. He created all the universe, and then he personally descends to introduce the path of bhakti. Why does he introduce? He came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was previous generation. Actually, it was like his grandfather's generation before. He delivered all living beings by offering the gift of Krishna Bhakti. He explained Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of devotional service. Prabhupada says in the purport here, although Sri Advaita Prabhu is an incarnation of Vishnu, for the welfare of the conditioned souls, he manifested himself as the servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, say as a devotee. And throughout all his activities, he showed himself to be an eternal servitor. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda also manifested the same principle, although they also belong to the category of Vishnu. If Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu had exhibited their all-powerful Vishnu potencies, Within this material world, people would have become greater impersonalists, monists, and self-worshippers than they had already become under the spell of this age. That's what he said. In other words, they have thought, oh, look at Lord Chaitanya and Advaita Acharya. They're acting like devotees, but actually they're God. And therefore all of us are God too. Because they would imitate. So therefore they were careful, for the most part, to keep their powers as the Supreme Personality of Godhead not very visible. So Prabhupada says, the Advaita Acharya is a teacher. The real qualification of an Acharya is that he presents himself as a servant of the Supreme. Such a bona fide Acharya can never support the demoniac activities of atheistic men who present themselves as God. It is the main business of an Acharya to defy such impostors posing as God before the innocent public. Anyway, he goes on. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes on. Since he has no other occupation than to teach devotional service, his name is Advaita Acharya. He is the spiritual master of all devotees and the most revered personality in the world. By a combination of these two names, his name is Advaita Acharya. Sri Advaita Acharya, Prabhupada says in the purport, is the prime spiritual master of the Vaishnavas, and he is worshipable by all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas, devotees and Vaishnavas must follow in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya. For by so doing, one can actually engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami goes on. Since he is a limb or part of the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, he also bears the name Kamalaksha. Kamalaksha means lotus-eyed. Kamalaksha. Kamalaksha. One who has lotus eyes. That's also a name for Advaita Acharya, Kamalaksha. His associates have the same bodily features as the Lord. They all have forearms and are dressed in yellow garments like Narayan. Sri Advaita Acharya is the principal limb of the Supreme Lord. His truths, names, and attributes are all wonderful. He worshipped Krishna with tulsi leaves and water of the Ganges and calls for him in a loud voice. Thus Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on earth accompanied by his personal associates. He was dying for Lord Chaitanya to come. So he came first and then prayed for him, seeing how everywhere this impersonal philosophy had completely taken over. And the whole devotional service was being forgotten. And so he says he worshipped Krishna with tulsi leaves and water, the Ganges. That's used in Shalagram Shila worship. So he used to worship Shalagram Shila. And then called for almost like a madman, praying for the Lord to come. The people are so far gone, they're so fallen, that nobody can now save them unless the Lord himself appears. So in this way, he was, it says that by his plea, Lord Chaitanya descended. It is through him, Advaita Acharya, that Lord Chaitanya spread the Sankirtan movement, and through him that he delivered the world. The glory and attributes of Advaita Acharya are unlimited. How can the insignificant living entity fathom them? Sri Advaita Acharya is a principal limb of Lord Chaitanya. Another limb of the Lord is Nityananda Prabhu. The devotees headed by Srivas are his smaller limbs. They're like his hands, face, eyes, and his disc and other weapons. With all of them, Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes, and with them he spread his mission. Thinking he, Sri Advaita Acharya, is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Lord Chaitanya obeys him, respecting him as spiritual master. So Madhavendra Puri is one of the acharyas in our disciplic succession from Madhvacharya. His name is Madhavendra Puri. And then he had two principal disciples. One is Ishwara Puri and the other is Sri Advaita. And then Ishwara Puri then became the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwara Puri. So therefore, Advaita Acharya was godbrother of the spiritual master. So Chaitanya, following proper etiquette, always treated Advaita Acharya as his guru, because he was godbrother of his guru. And he always wanted to worship him and pay him respects. He was elder, brahmana, all those things. On the other hand, Advaita Acharya always felt himself subordinate to and the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So between the two of them, there was always this intense competition to be able to worship the other. So it says here that to maintain the proper etiquette for the principles of religion, Lord Chaitanya bows down at the lotus feet of Sri Advaita Acharya with reverential prayers and devotion. Sri Advaita Acharya, however, considers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his master and he thinks of himself as a servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He forgets himself in the joy of that conception and teaches all living entities, "You are servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." The conception of servitorship to Sri Krishna generates such an ocean of joy in the soul that even the joy of oneness with the Absolute, if multiplied 10 million times, could not compare to one drop of it. He says, "Nityananda and I are servants of Lord Chaitanya. Nowhere else is there such joy as that which is tasted in this emotion of servitorship." Sri Advaita Acharya thinks, "Lord Chaitanya considers me his spiritual master, yet I feel myself to be only his servant. Love for Krishna has this one unique effect. It imbues superiors, equals, and inferiors with the spirit of service to Krishna." And then Krishnadas Kaviraj goes on to discuss this topic of servitorship to Krishna with many verses from the Shastra. People speaking the sentiments of servitorship. He says, "Lord Krishna, the one master and the Lord of this universe, is worthy of being served by everyone. Indeed, everyone is but a servant of his servants. That same Krishna has descended as Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone, therefore, is his servant. Some accept him, whereas others do not. Yet everyone is his servant. One who does not accept him, however, will be ruined by his sinful activities. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya, a servant of Lord Chaitanya. I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya and a servant of his servants." Saying this, Advaita Prabhu dances and loudly sings. Then at the next moment, he quietly sits down. Dvaitacharya always engages in devotional service with his thoughts, words, and actions. By his words, he declares, "I am a servant of Lord Chaitanya." Thus, with his mind, he always thinks, "I am his devotee." With his body, he worships the Lord by offering Ganges water and tulsi leaves, and by preaching devotional service, he delivers the entire universe. Now I want to read a little story. Pastime between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaitacharya. This is a very mystical event here. This is from Majjalila. Chapter 15. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offers prasad to the Lord. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Jagannath Puri, he constantly enjoyed chanting and dancing with his devotees. In the beginning, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the deity of Lord Jagannath in the temple. He offered him obeisances and prayers and danced and sang before him. After visiting the temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would remain outside during the Upabhogala offering. He would then go meet Haridas Thakur and return to his residence. He was living then in a house provided by Kashi Mishra. Sitting in his room, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chant on his beads. And the Dvaitacharya Prabhu would then come there to worship the Lord. While worshipping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya would offer him scented water to wash his mouth and feet. Then Advaitacharya would smear very fragrant sandalwood pulp all over his body. So this is what we do when we worship the deities in the morning before their bathe. The same thing, water for the feet is called pudja. Water for washing the mouth, achman, and smear the sugandha chanda, sandalwood pulp on their bodies. The same. So just like he's doing puja. Sri Advaita Prabhu would also place a flower garland around the Lord's neck and tulsi flowers, manjaris, on his head. Then with folded hands, Advaitacharya would offer obeisances and prayers unto the Lord. So this is confidential because although Lord Chaitanya is appearing as a devotee, he's actually putting tulsi flowers on his head. And tulsi leaves are only offered to Krishna. No, that's what he said. He put the prayers and then offered prayers. After being worshipped by Advaitacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take the dish containing flowers and tulsi, and with whatever paraphernalia would remain, would also worship Advaitacharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would worship Advaitacharya by chanting the mantra, "Whatever you are, you are, but I offer my obeisances unto you." In addition, the Lord would make some sounds within his mouth that would make Advaitacharya laugh. In Sanskrit, yosi sosi namostute. Yosi sosi namostute, he would say, while worshipping Advaitacharya. Yosi yaha asi, whatever you are, saha asi, that you are. Like you are what you are. Namaste, I offer my obeisances to you. That's far out. Yosi sosi namaste. That was his mantra. Lord Chaitanya used for worshiping Because when you worship a deity also, you say the deity's, there's a mantra, it's called a bija mantra for each deity, for worshipping him. So this was his mantra for Advaitacharya. Whatever you are, I offer my obeisances to you. And then he says here, he made funny noises in his mouth that made him crack up while he was doing it. In this way, both the Advaitacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would offer their respectful obeisances unto one another. Then the Advaitacharya would extend invitations to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again and again. And this goes on to describe other things. There are many pastimes between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaitacharya, so I just thought I would read that. An interesting one. Any questions? Yosi Zosi Namostate. Also, Advaitacharya and Nityananda, they used to fight with each other very vigorously. Advaitacharya being a member of the Brahminical establishment, and Nityananda being an avadut, a kind of freelance, free wandering. Avadutta means he doesn't follow any rules and regulations. So they would accuse each other. Nityananda would accuse Advaitacharya of being a Mayavadi, and so on. Advaitacharya would accuse Nityananda of being a bum, wandering around. Nobody knows what your principles are. Nobody knows what you're doing with your time. And they're getting big fights like this. End up throwing prasadam at each other. Everything. That's also described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I didn't bring that description with me, but maybe we can read some of these later on at lunchtime. He had, of course, he had sons. I think he had six sons, and three of them. Okay, three of them deviated, and three of them remained faithful. You want to know what the problems sometimes? So it happened just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, that three of Advaitacharya's sons went off in the wrong direction. And what they did was decide that Advaitacharya was more important than Chaitanya. That was their deviation. So they created, this is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, they created a what's called an upasampradaya, a deviant branch. But then the others, they remained true to proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. So sons and their disciples are described to some extent in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's all I can remember about that. In that way. Yeah, so you could see that right off. You can see sometimes how being wrong can be almost, wasn't that they didn't think that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't God, or that they weren't into devotional service and teaching Krishna consciousness and everything, but this one thing, they decided that the main person in the Panchatattva was not Chaitanya but Advaitacharya. And that way they went off in their own little tangent. And I don't know what that, so that's mentioned. Yeah. Sometimes these things can be a little bit subtle. Right? Seem like maybe there's a little bodily conception there. Yeah, with this kind of fear. That's right. Nothing else you can understand from this, that Krishna has a sense of humor. He likes to goof off. The way he was worshipping worshipping Advaita Acharya, Yogi Sufina must do stay, and then making him crack up by making funny noises. It's really unusual. But they were always engaged in this big competition, all the time. It was really what upset Advaita Acharya, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would insist on worshipping him. It really upset him very much. And but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would insist, you know, that Advaita Acharya was his spiritual master. Just adamantly insist. And so this clash was going on for years and years and years. And this is this story here, this Yosi Sosina Musters. just one episode in this thing. But it's very strange. Two of them apparently, somebody must have seen it one time or another, but it was apparently something they did just when they were alone together. It's really strange. It's really funny. Okay, Advaita Acharya ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.